Morning. Open in your Bibles to Mark chapter 3. We'll begin in verse 13. Mark 3:13. And he went up on the mountain and called to him those whom he desired, and they came to him. And he appointed 12, whom he also named apostles, so that they might be with him, and he might send them out to preach and have authority to cast out demons. And he appointed the 12: Simon, to whom he gave the name Peter; James, the son of Zebedee; and John, the brother of James, to whom he gave the name Boanerges, that is, sons of thunder; Andrew, and Philip, and Bartholomew, and Matthew, and Thomas, and James, the son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. Then he went home, and the crowd gathered again, so that they could not even eat. And when his family heard it, they went out to seize him, for they were saying, "He is out of his mind." And the scribes who came down from Jerusalem were saying, "He is possessed by Beelzebul, and by the prince of demons he casts out demons." And he called them to him and said to them in parables, "How can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. And if Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand, but is coming to an end. But no one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man. Then indeed he may plunder his house. Truly, I say to you, all sins will be forgiven the children of man, and whatever blasphemies they utter. But whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit never has forgiveness, but is guilty of an eternal sin. For they were saying, "He has an unclean spirit." And his mother and his brothers came, and standing outside, they sent to him and called him. And the crowd was sitting around him, and they said to him, "Your mother and your brothers are outside seeking you." And he answered them, "Who are my mother and my brothers?" And looking about at those who sat around him, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of God, he is my brother and sister and mother." Let us pray together. Righteous Father, thank you for blessing us with our time together this morning. Thank you for this word that you have preserved from your servant Mark about your Son, our Savior. We pray, Father, that you help us to discern what you intend for us from this message. Help us, Father, to be faithful servants in your kingdom. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. So last week we considered how Mark, you'll remember from last week's text, he presents this great multitude that's coming to Jesus in a surprisingly unsympathetic light. As he sets them side by side, parallels them with demons that Jesus rebuked. And if it shocked us to see Jesus put that kind of distance between himself and the multitudes, then today's text also should shock us. First, it should surprise us to see the kinds of people that Jesus chose to bring into his inner circle. And then it should also surprise us what other groups of people Jesus distanced himself from. All of this, I think, further instructs us in what it means to be part of the kingdom of heaven, what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Our text starts by showing us this group of men that Jesus called into his inner circle. That Jesus goes up on the mountain, where in the Bible we have seen so many encounters between men and God. And there Jesus appoints 12 men. That is, they number the same as the tribes of Israel, God's chosen people. It is clear that this appointment of the 12 on the mountain is of utmost significance. And so who are these men who are so blessed to receive such a call? It seems only special people would be subject to this kind of extraordinary blessing. Or we might think of Moses going up on the mountain to first off have his first encounter with God and receive his calling from God. We might think of him later going up on the mountain again to receive the law. So who are these men who match up to Moses, the Egyptian prince? Moses, the great savior of Israel. These men, well, four of them we've already met. They were fishermen, uneducated commoners from Galilee, the backwaters of Israel. In a modern context, we might think of them as rednecks. In fact, there are other places in the scriptures where they are made fun of for their accent. James and John even have a redneck nickname, if you can believe it, Sons of Thunder. Right? That's the kind of name that you associate with somebody who lives out in the sticks. Matthew, all right, so that's four of our guys. Uneducated fishermen. Matthew is elsewhere identified as a tax collector. And from what we read about him in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 9, this is probably the same tax collector that we read about in Mark chapter 2 a few weeks ago, where he is called Levi. Matthew would have been despised as a Roman collaborator. In fact, you remember that after Jesus calls Levi, Levi has him over to dinner at his house with other sinners and tax collectors, and the Pharisees want to know, what are you doing hanging out with sinners and tax collectors? Right? Because, and notice how, you know, they utter both of those things in the same breath, sinners and tax collectors. In other words, tax collectors and other sinners like them. Matthew would have been despised by most of his fellow Jews. Jesus also called a man whom the text tells us is Simon the Canaanite, or your translation may say Simon the Canaanean. The Canaanians were also known as the Zealots. That's why the ESV refers to him as Simon the Zealot. The Zealots were rabid anti-Roman terrorists. And from an earthly perspective, from a worldly perspective, Jesus' choice seems barely coherent. You have these illiterate rednecks on one side. You've got these two guys who are so far removed from each other on the political spectrum. Like, you might as well have Matthew the Antifa and Simon the Proud Boy. And Jesus is calling them together in Portland. Right? If you've been following the news, these are guys that are so far removed from each other politically that you'd expect them to come to blows with each other. So what is this that Jesus is doing? But Mark tells us that these are the men, not just whom our Lord called, but the ones that he desired. And so we find Jesus associating himself with, from a worldly perspective, what is a surprising group of men. And then we're confronted with two groups of people that maybe from a worldly perspective we would expect Jesus to associate himself with, and yet he denies them. First, you have the scribes, religious men whose job is to be in the scriptures day in and day out. And yet, we find that they cannot recognize the Messiah when they meet him face to face, despite being so well read in the prophets. Their rejection of Jesus is so complete that Jesus tells us that they are guilty of an eternal sin, blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, because they have claimed that Christ's spirit was an unclean spirit, that it was, in fact, the prince of demons, Beelzebul. These men have misidentified the Holy Spirit as Beelzebul. Not what you would expect from scribes. But Jesus condemns them for it. And if you were to have told first century Jews ahead of time, the Messiah is coming, who do you think he's going to accept? Who do you think he's going to associate with? Most people would say, oh, yeah, the scribes. Definitely, they're in. But here we find they are not. Then we read of a second group, Jesus' family, specifically his mother and his brothers. And we can sympathize with what they're trying to do in today's reading. The crowds are so great and so pressed together that they can't even eat. And Jesus' mother and brothers are concerned for Jesus' safety, for his well-being. And yet, when they try to come to him, Jesus answers, "Who are my mother and my brothers?" He puts some distance between himself and them. What we learn from all of this is that no earthly pedigree can bring someone into the kingdom of heaven. The scribes were respected because of their position. People deferred to them on matters of faith and religion, and yet their religious pedigree did nothing for them when they were confronted with the Messiah and they rejected him. The world likewise expected Jesus to show earthly deference to his mother and his brothers. They are his kin. The world preaches loyalty to kin. Blood is thicker than water, we are told. And yet Jesus rejects his association with them on those worldly terms. Instead, we learn later in the New Testament that their association with him comes not through earthly blood, but through the bond of faith. They become associated with him as disciples when they come to follow him. We also learn what does bring someone into the kingdom of heaven. Jesus called the 12 so that they might be with him and that he might send them out, Mark says. The 12 have a special place in things, as we have said, but the difference between them and us is a difference of degree and not a difference of kind. They were with our Lord in a way that we are not. Yet we are also called to follow him. That's what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. We are followers of Jesus. The apostles were sent out with authority in their preaching and in their casting out of demons. We may lack their authority, but we are also sent out to proclaim the good news of the kingdom. So we learn that being part of the kingdom of heaven, having a position in the kingdom of heaven, means being a follower, being a disciple of Jesus. It means proclaiming the good news to others. And we learn from the story of the scribes that being part of the kingdom of heaven also means making a faithful confession about who Jesus is. The scribes claim that Jesus is possessed by Beelzebul, the prince of demons. We confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And finally, we learn from the story of Jesus' mother and brothers that being part of the kingdom means doing the will of God, as our Lord says. Whoever does the will of God, he is my brother and sister and mother. So being in the kingdom does not depend on any kind of earthly status. It depends instead on faithfulness to our Lord Jesus Christ. The call this morning is to enter into the kingdom of God. Believe in the good news of Jesus Christ and resolve to follow our Lord. Repent of sin. Turn away from it and resolve to do the will of God instead. Make the good confession that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Be baptized into his death, burial, and resurrection for the remission of your sins. And continue to live faithfully according to his will. It may be that you need to respond to this gospel call this morning, or that having done so, you need to publicly repent of sin. Whatever the case may be, we stand ready to help if you will make your need known by coming forward as together we stand and sing.